You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
What's going on, everybody? It's a brand new episode of Off Book presented by Broadway Black. We're here in the studio right now, and we're about to hit our marks and go off book right now. I'm Drew Shade.
I'm Keila Gibson.
And I'm Princess Embury Mon. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so you know who Embury is. We have a new guest in our midst today.
Hello, everyone. Hello, hello, hello.
He's sitting in for Danye, who's in Tech Week this week, and previews start on Tuesday.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
Shout out to you, God dang it. Shout out to you, Danye. We love you.
We do.
I mean, you shrimp and broccoli. Right, got me all confused.
Like, right, that's what I'm like. It's that broccoli.
You know the broccoli is fiber. It's too much for my brain.
Exactly. But what's going on, Keila?
Not much.
Come on, man. It's good to have you in the studio with us, Doc.
Thank you.
I'm excited.
Thank you
for having me. I haven't seen you in a while.
I know. I've been hiding.
Why you been hiding?
I took a break from social media, which is funny because your episode last week was all about like not taking a break from social media. Right. And I listened to that and I said, well, they got my spirit together.
No, it's not about. No, let's make sure we clarify that. It's not about taking a break. Like, you can take breaks. I've taken breaks as well. But you still have to have some sort of presence left or some remnant. You know what I'm saying? We need to have an overflow.
A paper trail, some receipts.
Right, something. Yes. Some receipts.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, yes, you can take breaks because we need self-care. We need some time to ourselves. We need some privacy. We need to have
privacy
some,
like, is the thing I was feeling very much. I felt like I was oversharing a lot for no reason.
Yes. For no reason.
And I was like, oh, I'm just doing this to create content. Mm-hmm. Why don't I create content that's like for my spirit.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or meaningful. Yeah. That feeds you, not for other people. You got to learn that, man. You got to make sure you work your business that it works for you and not you working for it. That's my main thing this year.
Like, I like that.
That is good.
Yeah. Tell me what you've been up to. Like, what's been going on? You're a new dramatist, playwright.
Yeah, I'm finishing my second year at New Dramatist as
Work.
A Van Leer fellow. I'm going to the Powerhouse season at Vassar this summer.
I love the Powerhouse.
I'm working on my show, New Slaves, there.
Oh, I love it.
And I'm
New Slaves.
Yeah. Hashtag New Slaves is the real title.
Okay, so what's going on there?
It's a show about the NFL and how fucked up it is.
Ooh.
You know, I know it's really pertinent. I didn't mean to, but like,
what do you mean you didn't mean?
It's intentional to me.
But it's been a problem for so long, and now it's like it's bubbling up, and now more and more people are talking about it. Yeah. But it's always been kind of fucked up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
It has been fucked up for a minute.
Yeah.
And we're just now getting the national attention towards what is actually going on there, just because of.
Kaepernick.
Yeah, Kaepernick. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, now this new rule. It's crazy.
Right.
So yeah, I think it's very pertinent. I think it's very now.
That awesome.
So
new
I'm excited
slaves.
To work on it. Yeah.
Okay, come on with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so tell me what has been your year this year. So we're like just started June.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
We're almost halfway there, Jesus.
Oh my God.
We're in that 6 month.
Do you remember making resolutions in like January and being like,
I
can't wait for 2018 to be
What
the
did
year.
I do before I left my house? I opened my manifestation jar that I made at midnight, December 31st, and I made three piles. What I have accomplished that blew my mind that I forgot I put in there, the things I'm not sure I've accomplished and the things I absolutely haven't accomplished. But I love to do it around June because it gives me motivation for the last 6 months.
Yeah, the halfway mark.
The halfway. We're really halfway there.
It's crazy how fast it's been going.
Have you had a good year?
I have. I worked on a new play. I'm constantly writing like three things at a time, so sometimes it's hard to like know what to work on. But I got to work on all of them this year, and that was very fruitful. And I've been doing that, writing New Slaves, working on that play, which is called Imagine Sisyphus Happy, about being black in the theater world and pushing that rock up the hill. And white people telling you can't do this or you can't do that.
You have some experience in that. Like, you've been very vocal about your journey and your struggle and things that have happened. Tell us a little bit about your background so people get an idea of who you are.
Well, I moved here from Oklahoma about 12 years ago.
Oklahoma.
What part? Tulsa. Oh, honey.
Speaking of which, they're doing an all-black Oklahoma.
Segway.
That's too much.
In Denver, my friend Chris and Rodney, well, Rodney is his husband, but Rodney's a really good friend of mine, and his husband is the artistic director at the
Denver Theater Center?
Yeah.
Got it.
He just started there, so they're doing the all-black Oklahoma, which I think is really great. But
I won't be seeing. I don't like that musical.
I hate you so much. I won't be seeing.
No, no shade. No shade.
I know.
But, like, you know, we did it every
Oh, I'm sure you did.
In high school.
Oh, like, I'm sure I can't you be bothered hated it.
With that musical. Yes.
Would they do any other musicals besides?
They would, but they love it. It's our state song.
Gotcha. Oh.
At every pep rally, they would do a little routine to Oklahoma. So, you know, Rodgers and Hammerstein is good with me.
Yes. Oh, yeah. If you never see it again, you will be just fine.
I'm fine.
Praise God.
But more power to them.
Yeah.
So, 12 years ago, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
You moved.
Yes, I moved here. I went to Pace University.
Got it.
For musical theater performance.
What?
So I was a performer for a little while.
Learning new things. Every day.
I know, it's crazy. And then I started writing really out of necessity. I hit a snag in my like progression and was homeless and couch surfing for a while because of racism.
That's a hard stop.
Right.
Yeah. That's a full stop.
You can't just say that like
ski don't buy.
What was that about?
So I was moving in with these two people I went to school with. The paperwork had gone through.
Okay.
In my knowledge, it had gone through. But, you know, they wanted to talk to me about something. I remember this. I was at work, and they were texting me, being like, we need to talk. Mm. And I was like, y'all, are we getting this apartment or not? We need to, like, get this done. And they kept being like, let's just meet in person to talk. And I was like, thinking about it.
This don't feel right.
I was like, this don't feel right in my spirit. I felt something was off. And I was like, do they not want me to move in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I'm just black, say that. Like,
but you knew that you went to school with these people.
I went to school with these people.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm thinking we're friends. And I'm like, okay, what's the tea?
So like, why would they talk all of this game about getting an apartment and then all of a sudden?
Well, it was the neighborhood, really. I live in Astoria now, but we were looking at a place in Astoria, and it's historically Greek, the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the landlords are old Greek folks.
And they do not want any black people.
Yeah.
And so they probably knew that.
Yeah. I didn't know. And that we had been looking there, and we found a place, and we were putting all the paperwork in. But as soon as I sent in my ID, my photo ID, that's when things started stopping.
Yikes.
Right? And so through this text exchange, I'm starting to put two and two together, and I just say it.
Mm-hmm.
And they sort of just didn't say anything. They didn't respond, right? So I'm right.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you guys decide either you're going to
stand with me as my friend.
We're going to look for a new place. Or
you're going to take that place, and then we're no longer going to be friends.
This is exactly what I said.
And what was the response?
Well, they
took the place. Yeah.
Of course they
just
did.
Blatant. Of course. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, they called me leaving voicemails crying.
No, what school did you go to?
How many?
Pace University, right down here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And so they
cried like two buckets of white tears.
Right.
White
like that
tears
was going to wash it all away.
Honey, no.
Wait, that they was left receipts, though. They cried on the voicemail. They
I
left.
I wish I had those voicemails right now,
y'all. Oh, we would have played them. We would have played them all here.
Got them all the way together.
Is there any way can we recover?
I don't think so. I got new phones.
And
I don't know.
What company? Were you with Sprint?
I was with Sprint. Now I switched to T-Mobile.
You know I know all about the Sprint hack in the background.
So are these people that you have seen in your life since? Like, did you see them?
I think one of them moved to LA. One of them moved back home shortly after, felt guilty, I think.
Wow.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. But okay. I have not spoken to or seen them in a while.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was sort of shit out of luck.
Ooh,
homeless.
You got to tell me their names.
Did you lose any money? Oh, yeah. Did you lose any money?
No, I got my money back.
Okay,
yeah, I got my money back. No, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, at least you found out the truth. At least you were able to uncover that relationship before you moved in with them.
That is true.
Because that could have been so much bigger than what it was.
I could have been in an unsafe situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Spiritually and, you know, emotionally.
Physically, yeah.
Yeah.
All of that.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I sort of, long story short, I found writing in that moment because I was staying at coffee shops, staying on people's couches. I was sort of like floating.
Yeah.
And I wrote this play called Nigger Faggot about... about being black and being gay. Honey, I love a title. I love a title.
Pull them in.
I love a title.
Pull them in. I read that. I'm going to that. Right. I want a ticket right now.
Right. I need to know what this is about.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I felt about Booty Candy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had no
idea.
Those
are good titles. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Booty
Candy.
Because it's the candy
from
the booty.
Candy of the booty. I need to see that.
Like, I need.
Yeah. Yeah. Me and Auntie Robert. Yeah.
Booty Candy. Oh my God.
Wow, Keila, that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, such beauty comes from tragedy sometimes, yes, yes. And foolishness.
That's true. So can you tell us what is that about?
It's about being black and being gay in America and sort of splitting the two identities are often not wrapped up together. Mm-hmm. And so I split myself down the middle and wrote, you know, a white gay person and an older black person having a fight about oppression in America. Ooh. And those two groups and seeing where the Venn diagram sort of overlaps.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So.
Come on.
Yeah. All this.
That's so dynamic. And I love that. That's what the theater brings. Like, yeah. We are able to capture and do so many different things with our words and our bodies on the stage and the energy that's in the space. And that's what makes theater beautiful. So to be able, like, I don't know how that would translate in a film or how that would have the same effect.
No, mm-hmm. I don't think it would work in a film.
Yeah,
no.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Just even what you're saying to me. And then to be able to visualize or to stage or light that sort of Venn diagram that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. There's so many things to play with. I love that.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so, okay, keep going with this. Okay. I'm sorry, we keep interrupting.
It's just so juicy. Oh, right. It's so good.
I love it. So I wrote that play and sort of found out I could write doing that. Mm-hmm. And the rest is history. It's just been rolling along. I mean, follow the path that God lays out for you.
Hey!
And the writing has been paying the bills.
Now, you graduated when?
I graduated in 2010.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
And so, you've been living in the city and pursuing it since then?
Well, I came here in 2006, went to school, and graduated 2010, been here, doing it. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're doing it. Amen to that.
Talking about 2018 and you having a good year, so what do you see for yourself in these last 6 months?
Ooh.
What would you like to see?
Those are the vegetables in her.
Oh, that fiber
that
just
was
hit.
Deep.
My God.
Okay.
People use you if you let them. Yes. I'm not a vessel, a conduit, a diaspora of ideas.
Oh, yes. Lord.
Those vegetables are really working.
No, they are. They're working your spirit. Yeah. I see.
This is what happens when you don't eat no carbs. You just have good ideas, but you mad all the goddamn time. Yes, tell us, the last 6 years, 6 months of 2018.
Oh my gosh, I just want to keep being the best me. I've been working on, like I said, I took a break from social media for a moment to do the self-care thing. I cut my hair,
y'all. Cut your hair,
y'all.
Yeah,
no, that's the deal. No, yeah, I feel like a brand new person. Mm-hmm. I feel lighter. Okay. I don't know, I turned 30 this year,
You was holding stuff in that hair.
I still have a lot saved on my altar. And let me tell you, I was holding a lot. Mm-hmm. A lot of identity, a lot of, there were things. Mm-hmm. So
come on, release.
I feel like there's a shedding happening.
My God.
Yeah. And so I'm just happy to continue that journey.
I love
walk
that.
That's awesome. Path. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That's what's up. Amber, what you been up to this week?
Secret Garden rehearsals. Praise God. He's kept me. I'm on a journey, a fitness journey. Everyone knows if you follow my social meets. I'm on a fitness journey, and I'm in this moment of, like, I'm pushing towards maintenance. Like, right now I'm going to the gym. I'm working personal training, like, 4 or 5 times a week whenever I can. So I'm literally, like, rehearsing, like, 10 to 2, and then I'll have a break till 3:30. So I'm going to the gym from 2:15 to 3:15 and back to rehearsal
Come
to
on.
6. Like a crazy woman.
You've been focused.
But listen, okay, if I don't look like Kelly Rowland by the end of all this, it's goddamn it, what the hell. Jesus, God, I've eaten more broccoli and shrimp and Jesus. Okay, so I'm just trying to keep my eyes on the prize. Secret Garden's going really well. Saturday, our last day, we ran pretty much the whole show.
Oh, wow.
We've blocked and done all that in about 10 days. It's amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
That
we have
is
our
crazy.
Presentations on Thursday and Friday.
Ooh, I need to get in there.
So,
no,
yeah,
same.
I can't take you.
I am.
I'm glad to be in this place. I feel like this is going to be a good situation for me, and I'm proud of that. Yeah.
Amen.
You know, just holding it down for the chocolate girls. You know,
you are.
I'm the chocolate flower in the garden.
The black moth.
Yes.
I'm living dreams. You know.
Now you had another experience this week.
You listen, okay? So, on Saturday, we got out of rehearsal. We did the run through, and we were supposed to be there 10 to 6. 12:15, our director's like, you know what, everybody? Let's just call it. Let's just wrap it up. Everybody go home. And I said, shut up. Praise the Lord. Went downstairs, got some food, texted my friend Victor, who's in town. What you doing? He's like, oh, at 5:00, we're going to see Andre Leon Talley. I said, oh, that sounds cute. I go home, take a shower, and I was like, oh, it's really hot as hell. Let me just throw on a little t-shirt, a little short. Okay. And I was like, let's go to the theater. I went. I'm waiting there. I got me a little popcorn. I was like, I'll treat myself. Don't tell Roderick. I'll treat myself. I have a little popcorn.
You love a popcorn.
I love a popcorn.
You really do.
It's really my ministry. Like, I don't know what. I think it reminds me of my mom. My mom loves.
Amber has been eating this old popcorn from the vending machine here.
Listen.
Wait, old popcorn?
Okay, here's the thing.
The popcorn in that vending
machine
is old.
Firstly, it's Kirkland. Is that Walmart brand? Where is Kirkland?
I don't even know.
I don't know who it is.
Oh, it's pre-popped and
no, it's the microwavable type.
Okay.
But you know how you can sometimes feel like this popcorn been in here probably since Jazzy Faye was in this studio producing things, like 96.
Since Trey Songz first
now,
album.
Mind you, it's 10 options and the only two things was that, a Clif Bar, and Snickers. So I'm trying to do good, okay?
Right.
And everything around here closes. Like, when we get here, there's nothing else.
5 o'clock.
So I've been eating this nasty popcorn. Anyway, I think popcorn is just like from
childhood. Well, they didn't restock the vending machine for you.
I saw they got Lay's potato chips. They got Doritos. Yeah. When I went to the bathroom, I went and looked to see what's next.
But you got your popcorn. So you got your
popcorn. Victor and Aisha show up. And so we go into the theater. The show starts at 5 o'clock. It's like 4:59. So we're walking in. The lights are all up as we're like walking through the tunnel. And I hear somebody talking. And I'm like, that's weird. Because it's basically 5 o'clock. There should be previews. Mm-hmm. I walk in, Victor was like trying to take a picture of the movie poster for Instagram, and I'm like, Victor, he's here. Like, he's in here. And Victor's like, what you mean? Like, just loud as hell, being black. We walk in, Andre Leon Talley is in the front, draped, caftan, life, yes, luxury, on a mic, and he's greeting everyone who's coming in. He did a Q&A for the last showing, uh-huh, but he wanted to stay and greet everyone as they walked in.
Oh, that's wow. Fabulous.
So as we walked in, he sees Aisha. Aisha has on a baseball cap, some overalls, and a colorful t-shirt, and he calls her down. He says, yes, honey, let me see this outfit. Yes, you are giving me picking cotton on the plantation, yes, mixed with fashion. I mean, it was the funniest. And she is posing, going, yes, yes, plantation, cotton, yes. And we are dying. So he's like, hey, I want y'all to watch the movie, and then I'm going to come back for a Q&A. Gagged. So he goes away. We watch. It's 90 minutes of his life. It's timed around the inauguration. Like, you see him. Everyone has hope. They're thinking Hillary. He's like, oh, I'm going to help Hillary with her gown. It's going to be great. You see the day that Donald Trump is elected. You see the aftermath. I don't know if they planned it. Like, I mean, it's perfection just to see this little black boy, yeah, from North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And to see, like, he had to, that day he had to talk about what Melania was wearing. So he had to go to D.C. But he knew it. He thought it was going to be for a totally different reason.
Wow.
And instead of him being there, like, you see him at home and he's like watching it happen and he's talking about what she's wearing and then he's watching Donald Trump, and just to see how his spirit, y'all, that his documentary is amazing. You have to see him talk about how he got from a small dirt house in, you know, North Carolina to be on some of the biggest stages all over the, yeah, world, to being
an icon.
I mean, in a way that blew my mind, just seeing this man speaking fluent French, talking to all these influencers, being an influencer, mm-hmm, changing the fashion game. I was reclamped. It was so good.
He has so much life to him.
So, yeah, much.
And it's boggles my mind because he's been on this press tour for this movie.
Yes.
For this documentary. And I read a New York Times article that he did.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was the way that they might have framed it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they were saying that he was alone, that the fashion industry had sort of pushed him out. And because he had got bigger.
Listen.
Or, you know, because he was no longer working. You know, they were fly-by-night friends. He even, yes, told that to Wendy Williams. He was saying that, you know, I don't want to put, I think it might have been Karl Lagerfeld, but that might not have been it.
Mm-hmm.
But he was saying one of those fashion designers and a couple of them in the industry, you know, talked bad about him.
Yeah.
Or, you know, called him, you know, yeah, he was, you know, he's the original Queen Kong.
Yes.
Queen Kong, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
and what he was saying is one time he heard somebody, like, they accused him of sleeping his way to the top.
Yeah.
Like, saying he was in bed with every fashion designer. Like, that's how he got to where he was. And you see, like, the tears well up in his eyes because you know how hard he's worked to, yeah, get there. Mm-hmm. You know how many doors have closed in his face because he was a black gay, exactly, man in the industry. So for you to think that I got here by sleeping my way to the top, like, that was the biggest
and
insult.
And it was also so, like, what hurt me too was that nobody schooled him on how to establish himself and his brand outside of his work.
Absolutely.
And he was saying that, yeah, he never thought about that. Like, no, you know, other people were doing, you know, perfume lines,
yes,
or other clothing design lines.
He never
You know, he never did it because he was only focused about being representing for his job. And he,
yes,
got up and he worked and he did what he loved.
Mm-hmm.
But he was representing because Black people don't get those opportunities. Oh. And so he never establishes a brand outside of, and he's just now starting to do that.
And another thing he talked about that was the moment like broke my heart. He's never been in love. He talked about, he was like, I was always working.
Yeah.
He said, the one regret that I have, he said, I don't have anyone to go home to at night. I never have. He said, I've never been in love. I've loved fashion. It's been my passion.
Yeah.
But I have never been in a substantial relationship ever.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, just, oh, you have to go see it, y'all.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been meaning to, and I've been, you know, seeing the press tour that he's been doing, and it's just been, it breaks my heart a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm happy that he was able to survive.
Yes.
And to be here now to be able to tell his story.
Amen. Oh, and so I have to tell my story. So I'm watching the film. After the film, he comes back. He's doing the Q&A, and he starts, everybody's clapping, like cheering. Everybody's just overwhelmed. Yeah. He sits down, and he's looking in my direction, and he goes, you there, darling. Darling, you with the gorgeous hair. And I'm turning around to see whose hair is gorgeous. He says, no, you, darling. I hear that you're fabulous.
Yes.
I hear that you go by Iman. I said, niggas, is he talking about me? Come on up here, please, darling. Come up. And I am,
you're dying.
Gagged and mad that I threw on these whack-ass shorts and this whack-ass T-shirt, and I'm not in a gown. My face is not beat. I am supposed to be utterly untally looking fierce, and I look a trashy mess.
Oh, no.
But he was like, tell us, I heard you were in Hamilton. Like, he ran down my resume. I was sir, what is going on? And then Aisha Jackson is there, and I call her up, and I'm like, yes, she's in Frozen, and she's a black princess.
Yes.
And I mean, we lived a moment that I will not soon forget.
Oh,
and
my
he
gosh.
Just shook our hands and was like, oh, come to me. Like, we just talked and hugged and loved on each other. It was so beautiful.
That is beautiful.
Oh, it was so,
so glad
beautiful.
You had that experience.
I am too.
That's
Oh, that just makes my heart so full. That's what being in New York is about.
Yes.
That's what, you know, when you just pick up and go,
listen,
you never know what's going to happen.
What I was, what was gagging me was while I was sitting there, I was like, oh, if I could just get a selfie with him. Like, literally in my mind, I was like, oh, maybe after I get it. The
selfie
man
plus.
Knows my whole name and my resume.
Yeah.
Right.
And here my simple little mind was just wanting to take a little bitch.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, it was such a good
that.
Day.
I really, really
such a good
that.
Moment.
Fabulous.
You know, I don't want to... You know, never mind.
Uh-oh. What was the spirit going to lead you to?
Because I was just saying, you know, I think about these moments. In my mind, I was just thinking about these types of moments. And when you think about, you know, because I've had moments like these and people that have fed into my spirit and that have just uplifted me. And then a couple of years, they pass away. And you think about cherishing those times. And when I don't know why I'm that way. You know, I mean, I watch pimple popping videos.
Yes, because you're weird.
I'm a little weird.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
It's all very right. weird.
So, I mean, but I just think about, like, oh, like, this is going to be such a great moment when he passes away. Like, that's what, I don't know why I thought that.
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? Like, because he's getting bigger.
There's a part of the movie where he goes to Raleigh and he's in a diet center. And he's lost 30 pounds at that moment.
Oh, good.
But the funny thing is you see him, he's on the phone. He says, hey, I called for some information and I'm waiting for the results. I thought it was test results. He was calling a restaurant to find out how many calories was in the biscuit that he had eaten yesterday. And he said, he goes,
I can't.
So you're waiting, like, we're all waiting, like, oh shit, he's trying to see if he has diabetes or something. And he's like waiting on the phone. And we, and then you hear him go, what? 500 calories? And laid out. It was the, like, everybody, I was like, oh my God, he's got high blood pressure. Oh my God, he's got diabetes. This nigga was trying to find out how many calories.
Listen, that is hilarious.
It is so hilarious.
And I love his energy about it.
Oh my God.
But it makes me nervous.
It makes me nervous.
Because I watched
too.
Him on Wendy Williams and he came out to do his interview.
And he needed
and
help.
And he could barely walk.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I mean, he could barely walk. And when he got and sat down and they did the shoe cam, they did the shoe cam, so the camera wasn't on him at first. And so he lifted up his little caftan to show his moccasins, because that's what he's walking in. And he lifted it up a little bit too far, and his ankles are so swollen.
Wow, yeah.
So that's why he could barely walk onto the stage. And then when that was done, this is at least 30 seconds, 45 seconds, you know, they do the thing. He's still out of breath, sitting down and doing the interview and trying to talk to Wendy that he cannot breathe.
Yes.
And, you know, I watch a lot of My 600-Pound Life.
Me too. You, okay,
and
I can't. You can't say something like that in that deep tone and not expect me to laugh. Because I watch My 600-Pound Life.
He's giving you context now. He's telling you how.
Because how I know.
He got this.
Listen, I watch Hoarders when my house is dirty and My 600-Pound Life when I'm eating french fries, okay?
Oh, listen.
It will change you, okay?
I have a whole plate. Why do we get whole plates? My 600-Pound Life. Why do we have whole combo meals?
Listen.
Like, literally, like, from the fish market. It'd be like, seafood, shrimp, fish, like, french fries, everything, and we sit down and watch My Husband.
No, y'all are wrong. Y'all are wrong.
And we sit. No, seriously, do this.
Yeah.
And be serious about it and be looking at them like, I can't believe they do.
Oh my God.
How dare they eat themselves?
These obese people. Like, just nasty.
And you just be sad. And you just be so sad. Like, I mean, I don't look at them like they're nasty because I know they're human beings.
And praise God. Yes. Praise God.
But like sometimes I'd be looking like, Lord, Father God, like it's almost satisfying like watching a pimple popping video because when they have to roll them over and like clean them and stuff. Okay.
I'm not professional enough for this conversation.
Because I just be wanting them to be clean. I be wanting them to be clean. So like when they get cleaned, I just feel like, okay, God, thank you, God.
Drew, that's why I only do housewives. Y'all are too much. I can't.
Why do you want them to be clean, Drew?
It's satisfying watching them roll over, honey. And I'm done.
If they're not clean, then they start getting sores and they get worse. So I don't want them to be worse. And so I feel like when they get clean, I'm going to stop. Okay.
But his heart is in the right place, ladies and gentlemen.
But he didn't say I'm happy like when they on a diet and when they lose the first 20 pounds. He said when they get clean. I'm so confused. Listen. What are we doing?
It's the little thing.
Because you know a lot of times on that first go around, they don't lose them pounds.
That's true. That's true. Because they still be eating beans and rice and white rice.
They're thinking that it's going to change something because they only eat it once a day or something. Like,
this is not my ministry, y'all.
Did you see that family that ate 6 boxes of pizza in the car on the way to take boxes of pizza to the fam? No.
Oh, Lord.
This family.
Wait, what?
This family, they were bringing pizzas to the barbecue. So it was already going to be food there.
Okay.
But they were trying to contribute to the barbecue.
By bringing pizza.
Bringing pizzas. They ordered 10 pizzas.
Uh-huh.
From the time that they left the pizza place to go to the family barbecue.
It's only a 15-minute drive.
4 boxes of pizza made it into the house.
How many people is this?
2 people in the car.
You're a liar from the pits of hell.
2 people in the car. You have to look up this episode.
You're a liar.
Literally.
Can we cue it up? I have to see this
now. I can't breathe.
10 boxes of pizza.
They ate 6?
They started eating it. And as soon as they got in the car, they said, oh, we're just going to have 1 slice. Then it turned into 1 box.
What?
Then on the way, Kip kept going to the house. By the time they walked into the house, I counted the boxes. There were 4 boxes of pizza. And they act like, and then they ate again with everybody.
Oh my God.
Like it wasn't nothing.
Jesus, help us.
Like, I I'm not fat shaming. I don't want anybody to feel
like, we are not.
No.
Not fat shaming, but that show is just so interesting. And they make it like interesting.
They really do.
But yeah, so we're going to move.
But shout out to Andre Leontelli. Please go see the gospel according to Andre Leontelli.
Oh my gosh, I feel like we moved on to 600 Pound Life because we were talking about Andre. Andre, we love Andre Leontelli. Yes. Like
he is one of my favorites.
He's always been so vibrant.
Yes,
and
he has.
So fashionable. Mm-hmm. And
I can't wait to see what he does going forward. Like he's not even anywhere near done.
So I'm buying the film.
Yes.
I'm all here for it. So go check that out. I guess I should talk about what I did this week.
Please. Get off of me. Please.
I can't. Listen, I'm without a voice today, really. I mean, you can probably tell that my voice is pretty much gone. I sang at church this morning.
Oh, right. All the saints and the sinners was texting me that my friend, the good right Reverend Deacon, was leading the AMB selections this morning.
I sang at church.
What did you sing?
I sing on the praise and worship team.
Only on first Sundays because he's still a heathen a little bit.
No, because that is my team. I sing on.
I didn't go to church at all today. So
I'm an all the way heathen. That's why I said I'm an all the way heathen. He's just a little bit heathen. He's a little bit heathen. I'm all the way heathen.
My team is on first Sunday, so the teams are split up so that we can actually, you know, do other things. But they're trying to have me sing on Father's Day too this month.
You should do that.
Well, I committed to 1 Sunday a month.
So two Sundays is too much Jesus?
It's not too much. It's okay. Because we have to be, so if I sing that Sunday, we rehearsal. I go to praise and worship team rehearsal and choir rehearsal on every Thursday.
Okay. Mm.
So every Thursday I go. If I am singing that Sunday, then I have to go to sound check on Saturday.
Come on,
Saturday
sound
morning.
Check.
So we do like a whole.
It's a fancy church.
Well, because they have screens and stuff, and so they play videos and stuff. And so in order for the pastor wants it to be right, so he makes sure that we have, you know, we have to minister in excellence. It has to be ordered.
Pastor and creative director.
He's definitely a creative director.
I like it.
My pastor does like a journey, like he does a talk show.
They bring out the couches.
Yeah, they bring out chairs and couches, and he does like a whole interview and like of people that are in the industry and politicians.
It's an open show.
Yeah, it really is. It's like Super Soul Sunday. Really? It's like every third Sunday. It's called Journey Sunday. And so we go on a journey with someone that comes in. Oh, Irene Gandy was one of them.
I love it. Wait, they had Irene
Irene on the church.
Was she? Oh, Jesus. Wait.
We'll talk about that. I sing on. So if I go and let me make sure I stay on focus of what I'm telling right now, because
praise
I want
God.
To start talking about Irene. But if I go and sing on Sundays, I have to go to soundcheck on Saturday mornings, which is like 9:30 a.m., 9 a.m. to like maybe 12.
Got it.
And then I have to be at church on Sunday mornings at 6 a.m.
Jesus.
Oh. Between 6 and 6:30.
You can only do that once a month. I can tell.
And you live down the block from the church, yeah.
No.
See, so you got the journey.
Right,
it's a journey to the journey.
Exactly.
Oh.
At 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, no. That's a real journey.
And so we do three services, 7:30, 9:30, and 11:30.
Oh, yeah, I do that once a month, too.
And so, you know, it's just tiring. It takes a lot out of you. I mean, I love to worship, and I love my church. I go to First Corinthians Baptist Church on 116th and Adam Clayton. Pastor Michael Walwin is my pastor.
Come on, church announcement.
Give it all honor to.
Okay, go outside. Good giving all praise and honor to God who's ahead of my life.
Amen. look, you know it. Don't act like you don't know.
I know. Y'all know I know. I'm covered in the blood, avocado oil.
Now, when you going to church?
Tell us about when you sing.
Oh, yes.
Swerve.
All right.
She swerved.
Okay.
Blessed.
I'm gonna come on first Sunday with you. I'm gonna come with you, Drew.
Come. It's a good time. It really, really is.
Do I have to come at 6 o'clock? Can I come to the?
No. You can come to 11:30.
Praise the Lord.
If I go to church, that's the time I normally go.
Okay, praise God.
But a lot of times, because I'm usually up early during the week, I like to sleep in on Saturdays and Sundays.
I understand.
So I will watch. We have a live stream, so I'll watch from the live stream from home a lot of times too. Just because I get up and I start doing work, and then I want to be a part of church, and I can sing as loud as I want to at home and join along with my praise team, family, and so that's what I do. But today I sang, and it was just a lot. We had a really great service, but my voice is pretty much gone because of that. But also this week, we recorded next week's episode. So because next week is the Tony Awards.
Oh, yes.
We won't be recording episodes. So we recorded it early. Me, Amber, and Danya are all on this episode, you guys.
Yes,
so
we are.
Won't be three, 4 weeks. So I lied on Danya. He's only gone for
two weeks.
Right. So he'll be back with us the week after the Tony. Well, no, he'll be back with us.
The week after the Tony.
And we should have a special guest at that time. We can do that.
Okay.
We recorded the episode for next week with Irene Gandy. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you, she dropped so many gems and just bombs.
A lot of bombs.
Bombs and gems.
Bombs and gems. I think I might name the episode that, because she had so many gems on her.
Yes, and made sure to point them out so that we could see. Do you see my Chanel? Do you see my diamonds?
Ooh.
Do you see?
Like,
she's hilarious.
Okay.
She's
amazing. Like, she has 50 years in the industry. She's always worked on Broadway, and she's been a press agent and a publicist. For all those 50 years. Yeah, for everybody.
Everyone.
Anybody you can think of.
From Lena Horne to the Patti LaBelle, the LaBelles.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, and she's just phenomenal. So that's going to be a great episode to tide you over until we come back again. The following week after that, I will be here with Jocelyn Bio. And Danya will be gone as well, because he will be still in previews for his show and opening is coming up.
Oh, yes. My stupid mouth. Jocelyn is coming for Danya, and Kim Exum is replacing me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Kimberly Exum.
Yay.
Yes. Kimberly Exum was
Broadway
in Book
baby,
of Mormon.
New mom.
And she's a new mom. She just had a baby, and she's blonde and beautiful.
Yes, she is.
And she's so opinionated. So I know we're going to have a really great discussion with Jocelyn and Kimberly. Like,
yes.
I think we want to talk about colorism that week.
Yes, you
Yeah. That'd be good.
That's
okay.
I like that.
I like that too. Because they're so opinionated, and they both have so, like, just different experiences. But
I like that.
It'll be good. Yeah. So don't let me forget that.
I won't.
Okay.
I'm gonna write that down.
We did that. And that's the schedule for the next couple of weeks. So let's get into the hot topics.
Hot topics.
She was on it today.
Because your light skin Bachan was trying to sing my song.
She was ready. She ready.
Oh, I love her.
Oh my God, I have to talk about this.
What do you have to talk about?
I go down my seasoning circuit YouTube whole.
Okay.
Because we're not calling it the chitlin circuit. No.
Okay, okay. So oh, wait, seasoning circuit. That's
seasoning
what we...
Circuit? The seasoning circuit.
Is that what we start saying?
I mean, that's what I just felt like.
I like it.
My friend Brett coined that term. Seasoning. So shout out to Brett Tubbs. Okay.
Oh, yes, Brett Tubbs.
Oh, you know Brett?
Yes.
Yes, that's my homie.
Okay.
We went to high school together.
Oh, fabulous.
We grew up together. Yeah, so he coined that term for
seasoning
me.
Seasoning circuit.
Yeah, so I go down like my rabbit hole, and you know, sometimes I just need to hear certain songs. I need to hear like something from like Madea's Family Reunion. Or,
I love that you need like, that. I love that.
You know, it'd be certain songs. Listen, like it'd be like Deatra Hicks. So you'd be like, how much?
You need just listen. Black oil and grease is what you need. Okay.
But you know, they'd be so extra with
oh,
it.
Oh, very. Yes. Oh,
so that's what I love, the extraness of it. But I was watching David E. Talbert. You know, David E. Talbert's more refined. So he's more closer to the classical theater, you know, for the urban
circuit.
Yeah,
he's fine cilantro. He's chopped cilantro right. Yeah. Seasoning. Okay.
Like, yeah, he got a little parsley on the top.
He smoked paprika.
Right. Uh-huh.
Not the regular, the smoke. The 21 season
he's
is
garnished. He's garnished. Yes. Up. Hallelujah. So I watched David E. Talbert, but I was watching Michelle Williams in My Husband Doesn't Know.
I can't. The title took me straight
my
out.
Husband
okay.
Doesn't
what, husband. What My Husband what Doesn't Know. I think that's the name of it.
What My Husband Doesn't
Know. But what is
wait,
what,
let me
does,
doesn't
what doesn't her yeah. husband know?
Listen, well, it's a, you got to watch it because
you know you I'm it, not going to watch
same.
It.
I was about to say the same thing.
Tell me what happened.
What?
Listen, I don't want to tell you. I want y'all to go and watch it.
Is it online?
You yes, can just... you can go to YouTube
oh
and
God.
It's
oh my God.
Let me make sure I got yeah, What My Husband Doesn't Know is the name of the play.
Okay.
But it's Morris Chestnut.
Okay.
Oh.
No, that's I lied.
Okay.
That was In the Nick of Time. I watched that too.
Help God.
This is too
this
much.
One is listen. This was
Amber is my conscience right now.
This was what's his name from A-Man, the pastor from A-Man?
Oh, I know.
He's in Aladdin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, oh.
Clinton.
Yes.
Why can't I think of his name? You know what I'm talking
yep,
about, but he's
we
in
all
Aladdin.
Know.
And so he's in it. He plays Michelle Williams' husband. Uh-huh.
I thought you were gonna say father, but okay, keep going.
No.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay.
And Tiffany Haddish is the best friend.
Shut up.
No.
This is before she was famous.
Wow.
She was the best friend in this play, and she's the same old Tiffany Haddish.
Wow. She wasn't ready then. She's ready.
She's
now.
Ready.
No,
now.
I think she was ready.
No,
she,
I think she stays ready.
Yeah, she was definitely ready because she was in that and she had me cracking up. And I thought, I've seen this before, and I just
didn't
never
yeah.
noticed. So I went back and watched all her scenes,
Clifton
and it's so
Davis.
Much different. Clifton yes. Davis. Yes. Clifton Davis.
It's her. Husband.
It's Michelle Williams' husband.
From Destiny's Child.
From Destiny's Child.
Praise God.
In
okay.
this play
okay.
by David E. Talbert.
And she's the lead of the musical.
Michelle Williams is.
Wow. Yep.
And Tiffany
Lord.
Haddish plays her best friend. So y'all go check that out. Let me know what y'all think. I'm going to post a couple of scenes.
Of course you will.
But it's so good.
I can't take you right now.
When Michelle starts singing like her big, you know, 11 o'clock number.
Uh-huh.
Make Me Your Number One. You know the song, don't you?
I don't.
Oh my gosh. Okay, Chris, we got to play a clip of it right here.
That's when you drive it and you got to stop at 7-Eleven to get a Cheeto. But you come back. She just went to get a Cheeto right quick.
Right.
She came right back. You know, you drive, you be like, ooh, I need a snack.
But you see where she was going with it. You knew you saw the
I
intention.
Exactly where
and
she
this
was
is
going.
What I Lord mean by mercy. When some actors take the liberties.
Honestly, I'm not gonna lie. She surprised me.
I was waiting.
I was like, I've actually never heard Michelle sing like this. I'm not even gonna lie to you.
Like yeah. some of the choices.
I see you, Michelle.
Right. But that's because she was touring with it.
Yes.
She had time.
Right.
Yeah,
right. And
time
she wasn't on the side of, you know, Queen and other Queen.
Right.
She was in her own spirit. Yeah.
Right, and yeah. she was a star.
Yeah.
Live, Michelle. I'm not gonna be mad.
Yeah, I'm
not
either.
Like Michelle ain't giving y'all Aida.
Okay.
And Michelle ain't giving okay. y'all a Fela.
Keep it cute. Keep it cute.
Come on.
Listen,
Michelle. Michelle was Suge Avery.
She sure was.
Listen.
I didn't see it. I'm not commenting. I did not see any of those other things. This is the first time I've been exposed.
Listen, go and look up the YouTube clips. Michelle gets it in.
I can't take you, Drew. I can't lie about that clip. She did that.
That was cute.
I'm not mad at her.
That was a cute
moment. So go and watch. And Tiffany Haddish is in there.
Because you probably, with Beyonce, with Destiny's Child, she wasn't allowed to do any of that.
Dang, right.
Yeah, she was just holding down the, you know, the middle part.
I see you, Michelle. Shout out to you. That was actually cute.
Good. Okay, so I'm glad y'all liked it. That makes me feel, you know, like I know what I'm talking about.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, we're being open.
Yes, we are.
The second part of 2018. We're being open. We're being, you know.
We're receptive.
Yes. There's a shedding.
Ha-ha.
Ha-ha. I can't. Well, let's get actually to the hot topics.
Hot topics.
Well, that was a good hot topic, though. Tiffany Haddish.
Go ahead, Tiffany Haddish.
NBC...
Oh, yes.
It's bringing Hair.
Yes.
That's the next live musical.
Oh,
it sure is.
So NBC.
Wait,
how
can
are they
I read
doing
somebody
it?
Talk about it? I hope it's not Weave. I hope it's Hair.
You know what?
Who wrote that?
I cannot.
But what they meant is I hope it's not the watered down fake version. Right. I hope it's honest and true to the script of Hair. Mm-hmm. So I hope
I
it ain't three
naked.
Tracks and a closure. I hope it's a real whole.
Y'all better get naked. I want to see some boobs.
Yeah.
You know that's why people go see
Hair. Of course. They want to see
booty. Because if they don't know nothing about it, they want to see booty.
That's all they know is finna happen. Mm-hmm.
I was in Hair when I was a performer.
How
were
was
you?
It?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I was, what's his name? HUD?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you live your dreams?
It was fun.
Okay.
You just jump around and belt for like 2.5 hours.
Listen. So
that's
sing
all
a little
you
bit.
Do.
What's a little part you saying?
Oh, honey, I can't. Do you want to pay for that?
He said this oil and this gift. Ha ha.
No,
you can't
afford.
The gift
is moved to the finger.
Shut up.
So now I have an extra ticket to Sugar in Our Wolves.
I'm so done. No, I deserve it. I deserve it, though.
No, I'm just saying. Keeley is going to me because I'm going to see Sugar in Our Wounds this week like 5 times.
Yes, he is.
So Keeley is going with me this week. What did I say, Thursday?
We're going the 8th.
Yeah, so there's
eighth.
A ticket on the 8th. No, just like,
and you know people will show up to the box office. But don't try
Andrew
it because I'm
Shane
going.
Andrew Shane told me that there was a ticket in my name.
It's mine. Thank you.
Thanking you.
So you are you not interested in performing anymore or you just want
no,
to?
No, not so much.
No?
I respect that.
My, follow the path that
Listen,
God lays out for you.
That's the word.
And the writing is the path.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with that at all. Mm-hmm.
Know that calling. Okay. But NBC will, after the Jesus Christ Superstar live musical, I feel like that they felt like that was, you know, the... That was a good musical.
It was like the pinnacle for them. Now they're like, we can do
anything.
Yeah. We don't do Hair.
So let's do Hair.
Okay.
It will come in the spring of 2019.
Got it.
It's Craig Zaden and Neil Marin, who I love. They're just such wonderful gentlemen. They've always been very supportive of Broadway Black.
Awesome.
Thank them. And so partnership with NBC has always been really great. I thank y'all. So keep flying me out, y'all, to the live musical.
Hey. Amen.
I want you to stop filming in New York so I can actually go somewhere.
Praise God. But,
filming
in Antigua so a bitch can go home.
New Orleans or something. Like, get me New Orleans.
Get a beach.
Like,
okay.
Right.
Let's
I love
do once
that.
On this island.
And it'd be so fun. It'd be so fun, like, to walk around the sets and stuff. And, like, that'd just be so fun. I love doing that every year.
I love it.
Okay. But, so, yeah, Hair. So, what do y'all feel about Hair? Like,
I love it. The music's good.
How y'all think they gonna cast this though? Like,
well, okay, so let's look at JCC Live Superstar. They had two, and then they surrounded them with Broadway talent.
But
you know
what
I mean?
They gonna try to get John Legend to come back and do something again?
No, I feel like they're gonna find somebody. Who is Hair? Who is the central? Because Hair is more of an ensemble piece, isn't it?
Yeah, but there's
who
the
is
three.
The...
There's Berger, Sheila, and what's his name? Claude. And
right.
They're the like three.
Sheila's usually the white girl. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I feel like two of them gonna be Hollywood somebodies.
Cause Claude is about to go sign up for the draft. The whole play is like him deciding
the
whether
draft,
or not
right?
to sign up for the draft.
Got it.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay. So,
yeah, we're gonna get probably two or three sprinkles of Hollywood and then they're gonna surround it with the people who actually should be playing the role.
You gonna be in it?
Probably not, child.
Girl.
You know I like to ask if you're gonna be in everything.
Probably you know you do. And you know you love to see me roll my eyes and say, no, I don't wanna be in that
Dion, honey.
Well
yes.
Listen, you might need to, you know, get you a campaign. Some
I mean,
people have already
honestly,
started a campaign.
Honestly, though, Sasha Allen sang
the
mess out that joint when she did
Sasha
it.
Sasha
yeah. I would
Allen.
Love to see them just let Sasha do what she does.
Sasha
I'm not even going to be mad.
Allen.
She sang That's, me down.
Yeah.
Sasha.
Get that girl her role.
Allen.
She did it on Broadway. Let her do it.
Sasha.
Yeah.
Allen.
I don't need, you know, I know my lane in my ministry. Like, I know exactly where I belong. Let that girl do that thing.
She needs to do something. Like, she was in Pippin Tour.
Mm-hmm.
And she sang that down.
She did that. And she sings background for the Rolling Stones all over the world.
All over.
Getting her coin. Yes, she does.
Oh my God.
That's how she did. Girl, that girl be working.
Mm-hmm. I love
that. And that throat
so
is mighty.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I would love to see her do that though. I know she would kill.
Kill.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's gonna be great. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else you're thinking about that might be apart?
No, it's a lot of white people in there.
Speaking of hair,
sorry.
Wasn't Ben Vereen a part of the original cast of Hair?
We don't speak Ben Vereen's name anymore.
Well, we about to speak about it right now.
We have to. There was an article about him
today.
Well,
yeah, I just saw that. But, you know, Ben Vereen's a good friend of mine.
I know. And he's a good friend of Broadway Advocacy Coalition and helped us with Broadway for Black Lives Matter.
Well, you know, he talked about when, you know, I looked sideways at one of the Broadway Advocacy Coalition events where he came and spoke.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about basically about respectability politics. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember exactly what he said, so I don't want to put words in his mouth and quote him.
Uh-oh.
But it was, the gist of it was,
we don't control him, you know. Don't put that on BAC. We don't be controlling.
Right, right. But he was just basically talking about black on black crime.
Oh, okay.
Or something of that nature that was just like contradictory to almost placing the blame on the victim in a way.
Oh, Lord.
And as you know, it was like, and you know, people, we just pass it off as him being a little bit older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
I remember rolling my eyes being like, oh Lord,
right, right.
Jesus.
But months later, this situation came out with him directing a production of Hair.
Yes.
In, was it Florida?
Somewhere, I believe it was Florida.
And Lord, sexual Jesus. Harassment claims from several of the cast members.
Several.
Oh, Lord.
That came out. And initially, you know, I know that he released a statement, but it was before he had heard all of the claims. And he just said he was just taking responsibility. He doesn't know. Not saying that he doesn't know, but he just wasn't making any excuses, mm-hmm. his original statement.
Yes.
But then the article came out with all of the details.
Yes.
And I feel as though he never said anything after that, but I feel as though he put himself in a corner because the details came out and it was almost like he had already confessed to what had happened.
So the detail, what is the gist of like the detail?
Just him in rehearsals, making them feel uncomfortable, or
in,
you know,
hot
calling,
tubs.
In a hot tub.
Everybody had to kiss him in the mouth at the end of rehearsal.
He did have a sexual relationship with one of the cast members, and then she agreed to it, and then she didn't agree to it, and something happened that while they were in the bed, she told him to stop, and he ended up stopping, but he was upset about it. It was just a lot of. It was several situations that were detailed in this New York Daily News article. And so that...
Oh, yeah, he would tell people, they're like, the kissing, and then, oh, you're not opening yourself up to love.
Told one boy he was gay or he was a faggot.
He was trying to get him to a certain moment, like emotionally, and started calling him like a gay faggot and fuck you because you a gay faggot. And just to get the dude to cry on stage. But why are we going there?
Yeah.
Right. Like, why is that necessary?
Consent, I mean, and everybody. He comes, radical consent.
Well, and we're in a new day and age, and he comes from a different era.
I don't think that flies.
As reading it, I was like, oh, yeah, that's steeped in old school pop. Like, a lot of the things that he does, I was like, oh, yeah, that's how they did it back in the day.
Right.
That don't make it right, though, and it doesn't excuse it.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And I haven't had a conversation with him about this. You know, and I haven't had a conversation with his, you know, his management team because I'm very close with them as well. I haven't talked with him about that. I only, you know, just spoke with, you know, the management team or the manager about, you know, I'm here to support what I can do because we are friends. And so I'm not taking up for him in any kind of way. Mm-hmm. But I also have to report the news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm sort of conflicted. Just because of how it's been handled and all the details aren't out and there's no litigation, there's no type of recourse for the story even coming out.
I know.
And so there's a new article that just came out this past week from On Stage Blog, and they are talking about how Ben Vereen has popped up at new events recently. So he was at Once on This Island.
He was presenting at the Cheetah Rivera Awards.
Oh.
And the article came out 145 days ago. So in 145 days, we just
forget that he
moved on.
Yeah, that he's...
And admitted to it. Like, wasn't like, oh, no, these are false. He was like, yeah, he pretty much admitted he did all the shit.
But yeah. I don't know if he's admitted that. I think that they're taking that statement that came out before the article actually came out, but he's never said anything after that because it just wouldn't be good.
So he went into hiding and then came out and just sort
of so it sort of just sort of went away.
Okay.
So I don't think that he's saying that this he's done this, but I just don't think that he's said anything at all after that. I think he just wanted
to say he admitted to using his stature and position of power as a director to sexually manipulate female. They said in the
on stage article. But they're saying that because of the statement that he released and because on stage blog are the people that facilitated this whole thing.
Yes.
So he's the editor is the person that took the girls reached out to him and
he
took their
stories
and he took it to his friends at New York Daily News.
Yeah. Okay.
He pitched it to them and they ran with it. And then he posted it on his blog as well, and and now he's doing an update to saying that nothing has happened, and this is how we're welcoming in people that have been accused of sexual assault in the theater industry. And that's another thing, too, because we're still talking about Edward Regalia, where we're not addressing the issues that are happening, and we're just acting like nothing has happened, and we can just go on. And I think that's partly due to the fact that the theater industry is not as mainstream as television and film.
Yeah. Because nobody's going to boycott. Like, it's nothing to boycott.
Right.
It's nothing really going on. It's just like, it's been the ring.
I feel like theater is also a more mysterious beast than, like, film and television.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Right. Like, because in order to experience the work, you have to be in the room.
You have to be in the room, and you have to, like, cultivate the spirits in the room. You know what I mean? And sometimes that means, like, getting touchy-feely, no pun intended.
Yeah, no.
I understand what
you're
saying.
You know what I mean?
Yes. There's a vulnerability.
Yeah. But there's
openness,
a line that you just... That has to be.
Of course.
And I think that because this wasn't a professional production, this was a. I think this all these people auditioned like. It's like community theater, I believe.
Wait, what though?
This was community theater. This wasn't like a professional production. So there was no.
Oh, Lord, no.
You know, equity or rules or. So there was no protection for them.
Right.
And so that's another thing. That's why it's important to have. You know what you're getting into if you're going to do a non-union contract or do community theater.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I know, right?
Yeah.
So
makes
so it's
the
just
power
a of,
dynamics a little bit
exactly
absolutely.
Weird. They're wanting
because,
to be in
because it's been Vereen.
Listen,
right.
he's going to get me to Broadway in New York.
Yeah.
I'm going to do whatever he asked me to do.
That's a different, okay. Ooh. That yeah, that makes it feel
but
a
like put your hand, I mean, would
crazy.
You touch him in the jacuzzi?
I wouldn't be, I can't spell jacuzzi and Ben Vereen. Why would I, Ben, who want to see Ben Vereen in the jacuzzi? He already wrinkled and shriveled up. He going to get in a jacuzzi? Get out of here. You won't, get out of here.
Why was you about to ask me the question too? But yes, this is no laughing matter.
No,
but,
it's not.
No. Lord have
but,
mercy.
Yeah, so I mean, how do we feel about that? Like, what can we do to sort of address the issues, especially about sexual assault and sexual misconduct?
It's so hard.
Yeah.
And hold people accountable.
Because I have this question when it comes to that in general, whether it's Kevin Spacey, whether it's any of these men, is first of all...
Because we had that casting director too that got fired from Chelsea.
Yes, we do. Yeah. My big thing just in general is what is the... You commit a crime, you steal, you go to jail for 3 years, you get out your own probation, and then you can go on with your life.
Mm-hmm.
In this situation, what is the statute of limitations? Like, when you get convicted of something like this, there is no jail. There's just like the public jail.
Yeah.
And then suddenly they pull all your TV shows. You can't get hired anywhere. Is it forever? Like, will Kevin Spacey never be able to make another TV show? What will have to happen for Kevin to get back in our good graces? Is it some kind of program that he goes away to?
Right.
And how long? Like, for
or
Ben Vereen,
foundation or...
for Ben Vereen, they said it was 145 days. And I'm like, so is it 365 days? Is it 2 years?
Right.
What can you do?
Well, they were saying in the article that he's not saying that he should be recluse or, not work again. But they're saying that he shouldn't have the same access
eligibility
have the same power so like
true.
He should go to the
to
show
events,
if he wants to
but
he
shouldn't be
present.
Invited he shouldn't be no. invited
like
to
who
backstage
makes these rules is there a list like
right.
that's the thing
right.
the thing is so much fucking gray
right.
area
yeah.
like will Kevin Spacey literally never be
and
able to
like
make
also,
a movie for the rest of his life
he's a white man so he will
you know what I mean
but right.
I
yeah.
just it blows my mind because I honestly don't know how
and
it
what will that help what
yes.
is that going to do for the victims what is that going to do to recover his mind
or even look at Morgan Freeman right now like they did the same thing to Morgan Freeman but we're starting to see these articles and these interviews and it's like
that don't add up
that don't add up
Well, because the video that came out on Morgan Freeman, who Morgan Freeman was in the original cast of Hello Dolly.
Yes, he was.
Just FYI, so this correlates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Segue.
Right. Morgan Freeman, the video that came out, you could clearly see that he was talking about his castmate and he was being a part of the interview mm-hmm. and like saying he wanted to be there mm-hmm. when his castmate had made the reference to a pregnant woman and asked her when she was due, but she wasn't really pregnant. He said, I wanted to be there. I should have been there when that happened. Mm. But she felt like he was talking to her because she was pregnant and saying that he wanted to be there when she conceived her baby.
Oy.
The white privileged, in my mind.
Like, I hear what you're saying.
The fact that you thought this was all about you.
I hear what you're saying.
And you took that and ran with that. And so that
and
was
then
the...
Doug.
And dug deep.
No, yeah, that was the thing.
Because that was the catalyst
the article,
for the article.
I was like, wait a second, because she went off.
She had a personal vendetta.
I was like, this feels very, yes, it felt very personal.
Yeah.
And not like something she happened upon.
Right.
Or someone reaching out to her.
Well,
so,
he's suing the living.
I don't know.
The living fucks out of him.
Yeah.
Because he broke it all down and said she should have never written this article to begin with because she had a personal attachment to it.
Well, she said she told her higher ups. And they are like a subsidiary of the company that was producing the film or something like that. And she, I don't know. She made excuses.
Yeah.
I don't know, y'all. It's a tricky, slippery slope.
It is.
Because Ben Vereen is also 9003. You know what I mean? What do you...
And he's walking with a cane.
Yeah. And if you come from a touchy-feely era of,
but
like,
how many
making
theater... And not saying that it's right.
No.
It's not right.
Not saying it's right.
Who taught him the new way?
Listen.
Right.
Ain't nobody taught him nothing. He's still going
he's
off what he learned since 53.
That's the problem. Is his power dynamic has allowed him to not have to learn this just general personal... space and boundaries
respect
and that's an issue
and we're all learning now
right
with this Time's Up and Me Too movement.
Yes.
There are new rules and we all are not even rules but just
awareness you know what I mean, because I don't like to make it feel like this is like a new way we're doing things new policies no it's human respect and decency and being able to understand one another and growth.
Yeah.
That's what this is. We have to grow together in order to be able to learn and benefit from one another. Because I can't, if you're not growing with me, how are we ever going to prosper?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? As a unit, especially as black people. And so I don't want to just be like, you know, Ben Vereen to the cross. Like,
yeah,
you know,
I know. Yeah. I understand.
You know, put him up on, you know, Jesus Christ.
Okay.
You know, like. Wasn't he in Jesus Christ Superstar too?
Probably. I don't know. He been in everything.
That's what I'm saying.
Jesus Christ.
But yeah, so like, I want to be able to have that conversation one day with him and sort of figure out where things sort of went left and not necessarily hear his side. Because you can't take away from other people's experiences. And so I want to be able to sort of put that to rest for everyone and see how we can move forward and grow. Because from the instances, I don't know if there was, you know, I don't even want to get into that because it was just wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There was misconduct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. I feel a way about it, but
it's just, Let's lift Deacon Vereen up.
So,
Lord, please deliver him from being a dirty old man.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Going back to Hair, so that's going to happen in spring of 2019 in front of a live audience.
Yes, it shall.
Boom, 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 boom. So moving on to Darius D. Haas.
Yay, my boo thing.
Nathan Lee Graham.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Michael Kilgore is exiting.
And yes, so Darius is replacing
him in The Wiz at Muni in St. Louis, which I love the Muni. They always do some really great work.
They really do.
And it's an outside theater.
It's so big.
It's so huge.
Like thousands and thousands of people outside.
Oh, my God.
Like, they just have their 100-year anniversary.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. Heather Headley, you know, came and shut it down.
I love it.
She's everything.
She is. I love her so much. I still cannot find the bootleg for her in Color Purple.
Same.
Not the bootleg.
Yes.
I need the entire
Not
thing.
Not the bootleg.
I need the entire thing.
Go away.
I'm with you.
I listen, I have Cynthia.
You got bootlegs.
Oh,
I know you do. I'm sure you have a library of bootlegs.
Oh, my God. I have everything you could ever imagine.
I'm not supporting you in these bootlegs.
Don't
Get
support it.
Here.
You ain't got to support it. But I like to go back.
He didn't
I don't
film
like to
it.
Go, Right, I don't like
get
to go
out of here,
all the way
both
down.
Of y'all.
He didn't film it.
I don't
he
like
just
to go
it.
All the way down to the library to have to watch something, like if I need to. You know, I pull up
okay,
that.
Okay, that's
I pull up,
you wrong for that, Drew.
What?
No, I'm just kidding.
I just don't. I don't like to. You, but
the
I will.
The library is closed.
Is it closed? I haven't gone down there so long because I have everything at home. So
oh, Lord Jesus.
But when did the library close?
No, it's close, close.
Close,
it's
like you don't have to travel the, nah. far.
Oh,
close.
Oh, okay. No.
I mean, but it's not on YouTube. It's not right there.
Oh, yeah, computer. Right, right. Gotcha. I got okay, you. Yeah. I'm like, wait, it closed down?
No, it didn't close. I said close.
I can't take you.
Lord oh, God. Mercy. But yeah, so I like to have it. And there'd just be like certain songs that I want to see. Or like when Bette Midler fell, One Night in Hello, Dolly, I have this clip of... She didn't fall, but like she tripped over a step, but she recovered so well. It was so amazing. It's so hilarious, like the way that she just like, you know how you miss a step and you sort of like woo like that,
and you just enjoy watching her woo at your leisure.
It's the way she recovers. It's only the way Bette Midler can do it. I'll show it to you guys.
Well, I'm not watching it.
Yes,
I'll
like
watch it.
Of course you it's okay. good. Tell me what it happened.
I don't know. What do you have against bootlegs?
It's wrong.
It is wrong,
but I'm not
but
selling
he didn't
it.
Film it.
It's educational purposes.
What?
I'm educating myself. Bye. I'm keeping myself abreast.
But you've already saw it. You went to the theater and saw it. That's
but you know how, listen, if I had a bootleg of Invisible Thread right now, if I had a bootleg of Soul Doctor.
I don't even want a bootleg, and I'm in it, damn it. That's
listen, it's those memories that you want to keep, and you want to remember like what the show, you know, what it did for you in that
listen,
moment, and those
yeah.
special things.
I mean,
like,
when I was growing up, a bootleg was the only way I could see a Broadway show.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yes, there is nostalgia whenever I watch it. And I'm
my
like,
first, the even reason that I knew that Broadway bootlegs were a thing was because I got a remastered version of Dreamgirls 1981 version. And you've seen the remastered. Have you seen Dreamgirls, the original
Mm-mm.
bootleg of
Mm-mm.
Dreamgirls?
Mm-mm.
You can find that on
yes.
YouTube.
Yeah.
Sure
you can find
that
on YouTube. 1981, Dreamgirls, original Broadway
cast.
The
camera's so big back then. How did they do that?
I have no idea.
How did
and
they
it's not even really clear.
In?
Like, you can't even
no.
see faces for real. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can, but sometimes you can't. And sometimes their faces are washed out, but you can see costumes, you can see dance numbers, mm-hmm. you hear the voices so clearly. It's amazing. Like, that was the first time that I really knew that Broadway bootlegs were a thing, and I just have been hooked ever since.
See,
and I was in high school.
You have to understand, my mother's an actress, film and TV actress. Mm-hmm. And growing up, every time she saw a bootleg, she would always say, you know, that's one less dollar in our pocket. Like,
yeah,
we
yeah.
can't eat as good as we could because of bootleg. So that's just my personal,
yeah,
it's
no,
like growing
yeah.
up and seeing my mom and being like, oh, yeah, that
but
is really
but I still pay
up.
For tickets. I still go
no, yeah,
to
the
show.
I still go
glad
to
you
the
do.
Theater.
I'm
yeah,
yeah I still,
do.
You
some
know.
People don't, but I'm glad you do.
Yeah.
I'm not going to side-eye you all the way. I'm side-eyeing you a little bit, though. Getting strong, little
and I don't bootleg movies. I don't like,
okay,
you know, I don't, and I don't purchase them.
Praise
God. You know, we share, there's like a
right.
groups of people that
praise
share.
God. Share and share alike.
Yeah.
I hear you.
You know, it's a little lime wire.
Okay. Ooh, can Lord. We move on to another hot topic? I'm not with you right now.
But I'm just saying that I enjoy mm-hmm. a good bootleg because they just bring so much life to the theater that you missed out on. Anyway, I forgot what I was talking about. Oh, we were talking about
the Muni.
Yes.
Yeah, the Muni.
Yes.
Oh, and speaking of which, if you've never seen Heather Headley and Aida, you
we
gotta go and listen
I
to that.
I can't.
Too.
We are still going.
So Darius DeHaas is replacing mm-hmm. Michael Kilgore
as the lion.
As the lion in The Wiz. Camille A. Brown. Ooh, Camille
she's
A. Brown is choreographing.
Oh, yes. You know it's gonna be lit.
And it's musically directed by Daryl Archibald.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who that is.
But I'm sure
but
he's
he did
lit.
Motown the Musical.
I'm sure he's lit.
I don't remember him. But
I can't. Bye.
Because I thought, what's, maybe he did the orchestrations.
Mm.
Crystal Joy's.
Mark Zane.
Yeah. Okay. Nathan Lee Graham is the title role. Oh, he's the Wiz. Oh, that's cute.
Oh, that's going to be
Graham.
Fierce.
Yeah. Demetria McKinney.
Yes, from your favorite. She's from Tyler Perry.
She is not my favorite. She's also from Set It Don't Fly.
That's not the only thing she's done. She started on Tyler Perry. Which
she
one
did.
Is it?
She
what's
did.
The one?
I don't know which one. That was later on.
House
in the
of
game.
Pain.
Yeah, House of
oh,
Pain.
House of
I
Pain.
I never really yeah. watched that. But Demetria McKinney, she actually has some good R&B music, though.
Yeah, she's a great artist.
She has a good song.
Yes. Okay.
What's the
that
song?
Like?
Let me go to Spotify.
Get out of here.
We got to, you know, operate in reality here.
Yes, this is
she's
going
to be Glinda.
That's going to be very cute for her.
Yeah. I want to hear her sing. I want to hear her, Glinda. Come on. Put your arms around me, child.
Thank you.
Yeah. Danielle Fulton as Dorothy.
Danielle Fulton.
What I was about to say, I'm progressive.
Danielle.
No, but that's where I went. So, yes, Danielle, get it.
Yes, do it, sir.
Ife Butler, who's big on the Chicago scene, is going to be Adam Pearl.
That's a solid cast.
Jared Grimes is a Scarecrow.
Come on.
And James T. Lane is a Tin Man.
Oh, that's a cute cast. Yeah.
Okay, and the ensemble looks cute, too. You know, Amber Pickens is in there. Timothy L. Edwards. Okay, Kevin Curtis. Okay, I know a couple of these people in here.
That's going to be a cute situation.
Yeah, it's going to be cute. Okay, so check that out in St. Louis if you get the chance. That show is going to be happening June 19th through the 25th.
Awesome.
At the beloved St. Louis Outdoor Theater.
Awesome.
We also have today the cast of The House That Will Not Stand.
Yes, by V. Marcus Gardling.
Oh, my God. Hallelujah.
Music and orchestration by the Justin Ellington. All my people.
Yes, name them off. Who in there?
We're going to start with, is that Linda Gravatt is in there? And Harriet D. Foy is in there?
Yeah.
I think it's at least 10 black women.
Michelle Wilson, who was a Tony nominee last year for Sweat.
Yes, Anidra McLeod, Marie Thomas, Michelle Wilson, who was in Sweat last year. That's a lot of Janice Abbott Pratt.
Yeah.
That's a lot of black women at the New York Theater Workshop this year.
That is.
That's going to be an awesome show.
I love New York Theater Workshop, too. They do some really great work.
They do.
Shout out.
They did Othello last year. And it had
Daniel Craig and David Oyelowo.
Oh, yes, they did.
Ooh, that I couldn't was get a so ticket. Good. I couldn't get a ticket.
Oh, I sat right on the front row.
I know it was amazing.
That was so good. I don't even like Othello like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't like, I'm not a big Shakespeare fan.
Got it.
But I can get into it. If I've studied the text previously and I know what the storyline is, I can get into it. But this one, I didn't feel like I would have needed to study anything. They were so clear. They were in the pocket, and it was just really well done. I was pleasantly surprised. Speaking of which, aren't they doing Othello in the Park?
Mm-hmm.
Shakespeare Park, which is free. So make sure you
Ruben Santiago Gohusen is directing it.
He is directing it. So make sure you go and grab your tickets now before they actually open and everybody finds out about it. You can get preview tickets faster than anything. Just show up to the box office. Just go up there. But the House That Will Not Stand starts previews July 11th, and they open for July 30th, and they'll run for a limited run through August 12th. So make sure you get your tickets now for that. You don't want to miss out. Michelle Wilson is a beast. It's directed by Liliana Blaine-Cruz.
She's awesome.
Yeah, she's great.
She's phenomenal. So make sure you check that out. Another hot topic for today. Oh, this is Meryl Dandridge. I don't know if we talked about this already. Meryl Dandridge is coming back to Once on This Island.
Welcome back,
so
Meryl.
So the week after the Tony, she'll be back for like a month, and then Tamira Gray will come back. I love Tamira Gray in this role.
I didn't see her.
You saw Roderick.
I saw my boo Roderick.
Yeah. But you go and see Once on This Island, you know, if you get the chance.
Go back. It's great. It's only 90 minutes. Get in, get out.
So I just love it. It's just... I'm going to talk about it every week.
It's beautiful.
But yeah, so those are our hot topics for today. Did I miss anything, y'all?
Well, I feel like we hit on all our hot topics.
Well, that's the end of that. So we're going to move right along. We got a question, don't we?
We do have a couple of questions that I reached back into our inbox and found. Realized we never answered, and I think they're interesting.
We need y'all to send... Okay, first of all, we need y'all to send questions in.
Yes, what y'all doing?
Like, where...
Send questions!
If y'all listening, just send some questions. You can ask whatever. We do not care. We will answer whatever.
Yes, hop in my inbox. Especially if you cute and got a 401k. Just hop in and ask me a question. I'm going to answer it live on earth.
Or you can email offbook
broadwayblack.com.
Because you know her DMs, she don't be checking them like that.
Okay, I got like 99 plus requests.
Right, she don't
you know,
be checking them like
a bitch is fine.
Right, she's verified. She's verified.
Bitch got a blue check. Okay.
So send us an email to offbook@broadwayblack.com. And send us all questions that you have. We would love to hear from you. You can tweet it to us, whatever. You can even hop in Amber inbox. We just want to hear from you.
Yes, you can.
So go ahead.
This question comes from my good friend Clinton Rohn. It says, over and over again, we see Caucasian directors approached to tell our stories. Yet, we hardly see directors of color directing shows about the Caucasian experience. Why is that? Is it because we know that we don't know what the hell they go through in their white ass lives? And we respectfully say no. I added that part. Or is it because we're just not given the opportunity? And if so, why not? That is true. You always see white people directing black folks' show, but rarely do you
well,
see.
Well, Michael Arden directed Once on this Island, and I actually I'm in love with it.
I mean, there was a vision. The man had a vision,
right? Because it's, I mean, usually the show is all black. It is not right now. It's a plethora of, you know, mixture of identities.
Gotcha.
And it's beautiful. It doesn't take away from the story, although at times when they're talking about, you know, the colorism aspect, it doesn't always fit, but it still, it makes sense. Okay. But like, because when I saw it again, I told you that Lauren Lott, I think that's her name, she was playing
Andrea. Got it.
And she's very dark.
She's a chocolate drop.
Right. And so I enjoyed the dynamic of it, but when I really started to listen to the music and certain aspects of certain songs, it just didn't all the way make sense.
We understand. She got to cover a lot of roles. She can't be light and dark.
Right. Exactly. And it's not her fault. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying in the aspect of the story.
Yes.
But, you know, the creators approved it. So, but I like Michael Arden's direction on that. Speaking of, like, who else? Trying to think of a white director.
John Doyle, Color Purple.
Yeah.
John Doyle, Color Purple. That was
And he's
beautiful.
Doing Carmen Jones as
He sure
well.
Is right now. With a whole bunch of black
Anika
people.
Nani Rose?
Yes.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Oh,
but he's British, so maybe it's different.
I was just about to tell what Irene told me last week, but we can't wait, release that till next week.
Right, so don't say that.
Right.
Praise God. Chris, bleep this out. Okay.
Well, no, you ain't got to bleep it. I didn't say it. Yeah, she's just so stuck because I didn't say it.
But there are more, there are a million instances where all black shows are directed by white directors.
So why don't we sing? I mean, well, Kenny Leon be directing the hell out of some white shows, don't he?
I guess. I'm trying to think of his canon.
I mean, Children of Lesser God was like his most, you know, commercially, I guess, I don't know, mainstream. I mean, like when it comes to like a white play, like Children of a Lesser God.
Yeah. The thing is, there are just so few black directors that we hardly can come up with any examples. That's
handful.
The thing.
Right.
Yeah.
It ain't but three black. We got Liesl Tommy. We got Kenny. Right. Ruben Santiago Hudson. But he's, that's
Uncle
our brother.
George.
George, who writes and directs his own stuff.
Who, George?
Robert.
I've seen him at
directed.
George C. Wolfe.
Oh.
Robert O'Hara, but he also writes and
his own stuff.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is it's not even enough of us to direct white people shit. And we probably don't want to.
Probably do not.
That's
why would
probably
I want
the thing.
In
why would Robert
room?
O'Hara
want to
direct a white people show?
Oh, you know, I think Robert O'Hara would want to.
Oh, he probably would. Yeah, but it would be a good white people show.
Yeah.
Maybe. You think it would be a bad one?
I'm not a fan of Robert O'Hara's direction. I love his writing.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of him as a director.
I've never experienced. All I saw was Booty Candy. I've seen Booty Candy.
Well he wrote and directed them. Yeah.
Did he? Mm-hmm. Oh.
I liked Booty Candy, but I didn't like Bella.
I didn't get to see Bella.
So I think that he can direct his own work. I think he does well with writing his own work and directing it because he knows what he wants to see. But the interpretation of someone else's just sort of like makes me.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's that. That's that on that. But I can't think of any other. Oh God, I feel like I'm about to. There's some new up and coming. There's L.A. Williams is up and coming.
Yeah.
Who else?
Whitney White. She's up and coming.
Who directed? Oh, he's at the New School with Jordan Cooper.
He did. Oh, Stevie Walker Webb.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So there are a couple that are up and coming, but nobody that is like that has the clout or
the acclaim of the Rubens and the Kennys and the Lilies.
And you know, Felicia Rashad is directing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like when those of us who do get that opportunity, we do the smart thing, which is we trying to get our stories told. So naturally they are going to want to tell our stories, I think. Yeah, I think it's just there's a whole bunch of white people and a handful of us.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's just unfortunate. Well, we're going to read another microaggression came.
Lord have mercy.
Y'all are really on, like, y'all sending more microaggressions to actual questions.
That's life. That's what we're going through.
Yeah.
So this one is from Diane Roberts. She says, "Hi, everyone. I just listened to your episode about microaggressions in the theater, and I feel the exact same way. I'm afraid to go to the theater sometimes because how I feel on edge when I get there. A couple of weeks ago, Aladdin came to Cleveland, and a guy was literally clearing his sinus cavities every 5 minutes, and no one said anything. I couldn't find him But you know, if he was next to me, he would have gotten a Sudafed and an earful. Although this was a different microaggression than you were speaking about, I thought I'd bring it up to you. Love the show, Diane. Yeah, so that, you know, people, audience members can be rude.
Yes.
You know, there are things that happen in the theater space where people's like, okay, why don't you just leave the space?
I know.
Like, why don't you just walk out?
Like if you have a phone, why don't you just go answer it outside?
Right,
or
right.
Don't answer it at all.
Right. Or if you're going to be calling.
Is everybody a heart surgeon? Because y'all be having to answer these phones. Like, it's real ass deep.
It really be deep.
Goddamn. And I mean, come on. Unless it's somebody dying, get your life.
But
just
Patty
wait.
LuPone taking the phone will, like, forever be an
this
epic
is true.
Yeah.
But you know, a black woman couldn't do that.
Well, unless it was Audra. That.
Unless it was Audra McDonald.
Audra could do it.
Yeah.
Nobody
Audra
else
could do
probably
it.
Could.
Yeah. But I don't even think Audra.
Tanya would do it.
But they would ride the mess. They would.
Oh, my God. It would be just World War III on Tanya.
God.
It'd be Mother Courage Part 2.
Yes, it would be.
Y'all go back and listen to the. We need to have Tanya Pinkins back on the show.
I love
Because
Tanya.
If y'all go back and listen to the Mother Courage episode, I think that was like episode 3. Of the first time we did the podcast in 2016, and we interviewed Tanya Pinkins right after the Mother Courage situation, and she came in with just such a poise, and she was ready to talk, and we were like, you know, so I mean, is this like a little, you know, weird? She said, no, it's not.
Mm.
It's not. I'm not nervous at all.
Amen.
It's not when I'm telling the truth. When you're telling the truth, it's nothing to be nervous about.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
So she went in and she just go back and listen to that. I go back and listen to that a couple of times, you know, throughout the year, just because it's just such a good interview. But I love her to death. Tanya could get away with it, but they would write her into the ground.
Yeah.
Audra could get away with it. I can't think of anybody else that would be able to.
Me neither.
Besides Patti LaBelle. Patti LaBelle would snatch the phone, but yeah, we just have a different way of doing things when it comes to stage etiquette. I don't even think Audra would get out of character to do that. I don't even think she would.
It depend on the moment.
Allow
probably.
Them to take her there. Do you think?
Mm-hmm. Depend on the moment.
Yeah.
If she in the middle of a moment and somebody on the front row with us, she would. She, I'm sure, because it ruins it for everyone else.
Yeah.
It's not so much about her.
Yeah.
It's just like really. In the middle of this moment, for all these people who have paid this much money,
right?
You gonna have that ringtone drop it like it's hot? Like, get out of here!
Mm-hmm. That's so crazy.
That's rude. Yikes!
I hate it. Well, I think we didn't answer the question. We got a microaggression out this week.
We done had hot topics. We done had our special guest,
right? Keeley, it's been such a pleasure having you today,
bro. It's been lovely coming through. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for telling us your story. I feel I learned some new things. I've been inspired.
Where can the people find you?
The people can find me on Facebook and Instagram.
Yes.
Keeley Gibson. That's GIP as in Paul, SON.
And how you spell your first name?
Keeley is KEELAY.
Love it.
There we go. Well, thank you all so much for joining us. We've hit our mark and we've gone off book. It's been another great episode and we thank you for tuning in and we'll be back next time. This is Drew Shade.
This is Keeley Gibson.
And this is Princess Amber Ima.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.